easy stuff. We ready? Okay, we're back in session. D2, replacement of fire hydrants, award replacement fire hydrant, low bidder, Benergy. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, Benergy.
Benergy Incorporated.
Yeah, Mr. President, the district went out to bids and request proposal for a replacement of approximately 25 hydrants within the district. Benergy was the low bid of $18,690, and has recommended that the honorable board approve the attached resolution awarding the contract to Benergy.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Yes, Doug, have you done business with these people before?
Pardon?
Have you done business with these people before?
I checked with two other things. The school district did business with them and the city of Paso Robles, and they both had admirable comments about the contract.
Yes, there was about half of what some of the others were, that you was wondering.
Yeah, they're trying to get into this area. They're big down south.
And they mainly third of
dry, dry utilities, and they're good getting to wet utilities, and they did a wet utility for City of Paso Robles and also for Branch School.
Okay.
South meaning?
LA area.
Okay. No local bidders were low, huh?
Well, there were a whole bunch of bidders.
I mean, no local.
No, D Chance was local, but he was twice as much.
Yeah.
Most of them were local bidders.
Yeah, they were a lot more money.
Okay. They know the ground, yeah.
Public comment?
Yes. Any public comment on this? Okay. So if there's no public comment, no board comment, I'll bring it back and entertain a motion that we give this contract to Benergy.
This will be resolution number 00-746. Approving the contract.
I move we accept the bid from Benergy Incorporated.
I second. I'll make that second.
All right, Albert has seconded. Let the records show, and let's have a roll call, please.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director O'Brien.
Yes.
President Webb.
Yes. D3, request for car wash, Shell Station, request for water and sewer service for proposed car wash, 501 West Tift. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, we received a request to install a car wash at the South Service Station at 501 West Tenth Street. It's basically located right at the intersection there. This is a backward fringe road. And the site plan, Tenth Street fringe road, the existing Shell Station. We're planning to put a car wash here and have the circulation go behind the service station and through this area. The car wash is designed for, I think, 50% reduction. They're in the process of going through the planning process. I think the applicant's in the audience. We're requesting that they enter into a plan check inspection agreement and submit improvement plans in compliance with the district. There probably will be very little. It's mainly just hooking up to the system, put in a sample station where the effluent goes into our wastewater system to make sure there's no harmful constituents getting into our sewer system, pay the appropriate fees, and construct improvements and the as-built as normal. And normally has all intent to serve that to expire in 2 years.
Hi, Bob Goen, Napoleon Michelle, owner, operator. We've gone through the planning as far as we're going in for a minor use permit. We've also had the approval from the Napoleon Community Advisory Committee. So we've done pretty much got everything set right now, but one of the things the county requires is that you have a will serve letter from your water department. And so that's what we're here today to, I guess it's an intent to serve, and there was some conditions here that was put in that I think there's no problem with them. We can do those. I do have Dennis Fullerge here from Mark 7, which is the type of car wash we're putting in. He's done many of them in California. So if you guys might have any questions, he could probably answer them for you.
How efficient is the removal of the hydrocarbons, et cetera, from the car wash with respect to the wastewater?
I think what I'll do is have Dennis come up. I know he knows probably most of those questions.
Good morning or good afternoon, Chairperson and Board. My name is Dennis Felgus. I reside in Fresno, California, and I represent Mark 7 Car Wash Systems. And in order to address the question that you answered, the removal of hydrocarbons, there's usually none generated with this type of car wash. It has a water recovery system that develops an ozone that's circulated through the recovery system, which the balance of the system goes into sewer discharge. But with the ozone system, the hydrocarbons, if there are any, and this would just be from the residue of the surface of the car, will be put into the ozone treatment, releases those to where they're no longer a danger to the environment. And all this has been environmentally approved.
Oh, I've experienced car washes where people, and I've done it myself, wash off the engine of all the grease and everything else, pop the hood, and there's a substantial amount of grease that goes down the system. And that's what we're concerned about.
Okay, this is not that type of car wash. This is an automated car wash, a vending machine car wash that washes the exterior of the car only. There's no wand waving. This is all automated, and it only washes the exterior surfaces of the car.
What about the underside? It doesn't wash the underside?
The underside, it does address the underside slightly with the rocker panel area, and the water that comes from the underside is not any worse than the debris that washes off from the road. From the roadway, and usually this is where this accumulates from. It is not as severe enough, nor are there chemicals available that would actually take the residue oil or actually clean the undercarriage of the car as you would if you were purposely trying to steam clean or pressure wash off. This is just the residual accumulation that's washed off the car.
This is similar to the car wash in the Shell station in Royal Grande. When you put your nickel in the slot, three part where light says red, and then
I believe so. That yeah. There's a new car wash in Royal Grande also on, it's in Atascadero. And it has a similar car wash to the type we'll be using. And there are also numerous car washes of the same type in Santa Barbara. We have a car wash of this exact type that we just recently installed at the Harris Ranch in Kalinga area on I-5. And they had some severe environmental issues there because the water was discharged back into the ground. They had their own sewage treatment system. And this car wash passed all those environmental rules regarding the discharge water.
Without any post-treatment?
Without any post-treatment.
Where is 502? Is that your address? 502 Tift?
501.
Okay, well, I missed it by one.
That's
but
Bob's.
Anyway, is that on the north or south side of the street?
South.
Southwest Shell Station.
That's an intersection of Tift and Frontage Road on the south side, southwest side.
By the freeway.
Well, you guys are going to be very welcome around here, I can tell you that, because it's been very difficult to get a car wash without going to Santa Maria or wherever.
Are you going to have this system where if you fill up with 8 gallons, you get a free wash?
And your price will be right, I know. Yeah.
Our pump
take one in Royal Grand at the Shell station up there. Yeah.
You know, I'm one of your customers there, and sometimes it's hard to get in there. And I'm wondering whether this new activity is going to add to that congestion in there.
As far behind. As the research that I've done, and I think the end of my we probably service about 70% of our own customers with that.
The average customer that buys gasoline from his car wash will probably buy the average car wash use, let's say, per gallon of gas sold. There's usually one car wash is sold for every 50 gallons of gas that he sells. And the amount of gasoline that he's currently selling, he's really going to address the existing customers that are already coming in. About 70% of the traffic in there will already be existing customers. So I don't think it's going to... Now, the car wash capacity is about 12 cars an hour. So the amount of traffic that will increase, say the 30% of the 12 cars an hour, I think will be insignificant.
County's approved it.
Mr. Gowan made a presentation to the Community Advisory Council last Monday night too, and was very well received by and received very, very full support.
One point that
he did bring up something at that time that wasn't mentioned today, and that is that the 50% reduction in savings in the water also constitutes a significant savings over what people use when they wash their cars with a hose in the front of their house. So that means less
I have documentation on that from the Western Car Wash Association. It states that average person uses between 80 and 150 gallons of car to wash their car in a 10-minute period. And we plan to use no more than 20 gallons per car.
Yeah. All of your water goes into the holding tanks, is that correct?
Yes,
your filtration process.
It all goes into the holding tanks, and then it's recycled through, and we reuse about 50% of it.
Where's the other 50% dump
off? That goes into sewage.
I mean, where does it dump off in the system?
The last holding tank where the recovery is taken for the reclaim system. It's not in that drawing, I'm sorry to say. I do have another drawing that shows where it's at.
Said this looked like 100% recirculation.
Yeah, I wish it was. That is provided by the manufacturer of the water recovery system, where they can do 100% recovery system, but it's very expensive and difficult to do that.
Do you have any sludge that's developed out of the system or residue?
What was that?
Do you have any sludge that's created out of this system or residue?
Yes, the sludge will go into those containment tanks, and in the reclaim system itself, it has a bag filter that will have to be emptied periodically.
And who maintains the system?
The car wash owner will maintain it, and the bag filter is nothing more than the silt that's washed off the car. It's the TDS, totally dissolved solids, that end up in that bag filter, and they've repeatedly been tested to be environmentally safe to go into conventional landfill.
If it's not maintained properly, what happens to the discharge into the sewer?
None whatsoever, and there will be a test basin provided for testing, which can be done whenever required.
Doesn't pertain to water, but you have to cut the back of the station off to make the pass through, or you can cut a hole in the parking lot. You're going to cut a hole in the parking lot, or you're going to cut the station down to make the pass through behind
it? Well, actually, the far, I guess, the north-south side of the building is going to be modified. I think it's 7 feet, so I just wanted to line it up and make it sit in there.
Yeah, I saw the drawing. I just couldn't see where you're going to squeeze the cars coming out between the back of the building and that retaining wall.
Actually, it's the retaining wall.
Okay. I was just curious how you're going to fit the cars coming through there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any, before I bring us back to the board, any public comment on this? No public? Okay, we'll take a vote on, or entertain a motion.
I move that we approve an intent to serve letter for the car wash at 501 West Teff Street with the conditions as listed.
I'll second that.
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Winn.
Yes.
Director LeBrun.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
President Blair.
Yes, so it looks like you're gonna get your car washed. Just as.
Bingo.
Alex said he was one of your customers. I've never been one of your customers because your price of diesel fuel is considerably higher than your competitors.
Well, you know how that works.
We have a lot of our diesel come in on a Chevron invoice. Right now, I've been trying to explain this to our customers, is that there's a spot market out there, and it's abundance of fuel at the refinery that the oil companies, and they all do it, kick it out the back door at a cheaper price. And right now, with what's going on in the Middle East, they're running at full capacity and still can't hardly hit the demand because they have cut in production in the Middle East down. So what happens, that spot market now has got so expensive, and we're buying our diesel off the spot market, and we're not really under contract on that. So I was used to shop and get it from Unocal, wherever, on the diesel. Shell, I have to buy from them. I'm on contract with them. But the diesel, I know, it's horrible. It's just, we have truckers not even gassing in California anymore. They're hitting Arizona and Nevada where they're saving 20, 30 cents a gallon. So it's just a real tough market right now.
Just want you to know one reason why you haven't seen my shiny face is I got three diesels and I picked the spot where it's the lowest.
That's,
Okay, thanks. Okay, what's next here?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, for the next item.
As Slo County Ad Hoc Planning Advisory Committee?
Yeah, and I'll share the floor here with Mr. Gwynn.
And
Mr. Mobrock, because they both attended these meetings. I was fortunate enough to be seated on the Templeton Blue Ribbon Committee, which instituted this whole proceeding, and convinced Supervisor Ovid, who deserves a lot of credit here, to institute a official countywide study program as to how.
Hit the big apple here.
Yeah.
Lisa?
Hey, Lisa, can you take them just on the other side of the door? No, just take them on the other side of the door. Because we got to get going to another meeting here.
As how our local communities could have greater input or more credible input, depending on your perspective, into the planning process. These issues typically involve areas that surround community service districts because we are typically in the middle of population centers in the unincorporated county while not being an incorporated city. We've had several meetings, some of them were heated, some of them were genteel, but we did finally come up with a draft. And what's important about this is that we are finally getting something in front of the Board of Supervisors. We're gonna actually have this on the agenda. And that's the key thing, because it gives people a chance to go down there and actually comment on what they think. Anyway, basic long story short, they came up with three recommendations. One is to begin implementing on a countywide basis municipal advisory councils. These are different than the current advisory groups that are currently being operated. They would be an official body, advisory body to the Planning Commission. Those issues that came before the Planning Commission that were within the scope of the MAC would have to come before them. They would be a Brown Act committee. They would have agendas. And whatever report came out of that would be included in the Planning Commission packet to be considered by the Planning Commission. I'd also anticipate that the President or somebody from the MAC would probably attend and give input. And the second one is to beef up the current advisory groups.
This is a real coup for this group, in my opinion, because I think we've already seen that as a result of us just instituting this process, that the county has beefed up their participation with the advisory groups. They've also, as you'll see in the back packet, they're instituted or mandated a new program regarding advisory groups and how they will treat them. But that's the other suggestion. And the last one, number three, is a combination of approaches, which means instead of instituting a county-wide program of either beefing up the current advisory groups or instituting MACs on a county-wide basis, to allow each group, each community decide for itself whether or not it wishes to pursue a municipal advisory council or to continue with their current advisory groups as beefed up. The most important thing here for this board to realize is that if you pick items number one or number three, and the Board of Supervisors in turn supports that position, that what it would require is that the MACs would return to the advisory committee to develop a guidelines and a cost analysis of forming and providing for MACs, which in turn would be brought back to the Board of Supervisors for final approval. So it would not be a done deal, it would just be a step in that direction. Anyway, I feel fortunate to have been able to participate in both the Blue Ribbon, initial Blue Ribbon Committee and the Countywide Committee. And if I haven't hit all the salient points, I'm sure Dick and Mike can bring you up to speed. Most important thing here, though, is that the district go on record and instruct this general manager to write a letter on the record to our the Board of Supervisors, enough times so they can be included in the board packet, announcing its support for one way or the other in the hopes of persuading the board to proceed. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, I feel the Municipal Advisory Council will have much more weight than an advisory committee because they're an elected or an appointed council. But again, it's probably going to run like a city council, only we're going to have South County, but I like to have each section of the county make their own determination, because I can't see us having a municipal and be out voted by the people in Templeton that want an advisory committee.
So you're what you're supporting is number three, to let each community right. make its
basically,
own
basically number three. I like to see each area have its own method of going to the Board of Supervisors.
Right. And one thing that has been substantial confusion about this is that people think that the community Templeton and the community service districts are out to empower themselves. I've given a very strong legal opinion to the Blue Ribbon Committee in Templeton that as a practical matter, a board member could not sit on a MAC. It would be an incompatible office. So the idea that this board could be the MAC, or that we could have delegates on the MAC, should not be a conclusion. The only reason why the Templeton Community Service District sponsored this is because, just because of the community makeup in Templeton, the board has a very, very, very close tie to their local advisory group. And that's why Templeton took the flag at the get-go.
Yeah, I'd like to see the combination, but I'd still like us in South County to go municipal one.
Yeah.
I also would agree with approach number three. I think currently we have 13 advisory councils in the county, and we have one MAC.
We don't have any MACs.
I was told by Supervisor Shadjian that the one in Cambria is a MAC.
No.
That's not true. Okay. Well,
it's probably more closely run as a MAC,
okay.
But it's not officially designated.
Okay.
It's not officially.
I do know the advisory council here voted for approach number three, and my guess is that they are going to want to continue to be an advisory council, but using probably 90% of the characteristics of a MAC. But that's their issue. I would like to see it open for each community to be able to make its own choice. Approach number three.
Yeah, I think they should make their own choice. If we make a choice for them, we're going to be in a
We're gonna, you know, we're not gonna make everybody happy, so let's let them make the choice.
Yeah, actually, the board of supervisors will.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the ultimate decision as to whether, what option to choose. We just be making a recommendation to the board.
Then you want to agree.
But the only thing that this advisory council has really held up is the sign. Everything else, if either, anything that the county really wanted to do and the advisory council was against, county's done it anyhow, except for the sign. And they need more power. They need something where they can say no, because when they say no, the planning commission says yes.
That's it.
And that's it.
Well, I don't want to belabor this too much, but we had, as indicated in the staff report and Director Harry Olbitz's letter to the board, we reviewed a whole mess of combinations. But the long story short is that there was a consensus, I don't want to say it was an agreement, that the advisory groups don't understand the legal complexities of what they can approve and what they can't approve.
Mm.
And you will note that one of the things that is in the new strategic plan, which is a direct result of this, of what we've been working on in the county, is an educational process for the advisory groups to educate them on what they can approve and what they can't approve, and how they can best make the legal case to support something that they don't approve. In other words, what findings they have to make in order to support that position if they, in fact, can make those findings.
John, is that strategic plan the same one that the Planning Commission is going to be discussing in their agenda on the 9th?
I think it is.
It's a two-hour item.
Yeah. They're, you know, I must say that we've had a significant impact.
It's good.
Because these meetings have been staffed by Harry Oba at every meeting. Diane Hall, who is Cacho's a planning commissioner, Victor Holanda, who is the director of planning for the county, Pat Beck, who is the number two person in planning, along with, I would say, a fairly good mixture of county people with various expertise, all the way from Cambria down to here. And some of them are pretty bloody. I mean, they let loose on the planning department as to what was going wrong. And I think you're seeing a good, positive reaction to those comments, you know, already. It's already bearing fruit.
The new planning director, I think, is doing a lot.
Yeah.
He's better.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to take a
motion approving number three, if that was a motion and a second.
I move that we direct the manager.
I'll second.
To send a letter saying that we back approach number three.
I'll second that.
We have a first and a second. Have a roll call vote, please.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Mendoza.
Yes.
Director McBratton.
Yes.
President Black.
Yes. Okay, consent agenda. Two things on the consent agenda: warrants and a board meeting. Anybody got any problem with either one of those two?
No.
If neither problem with either one, I would entertain a motion that we approve the minutes and the warrants.
I'll make that motion that we approve the F1 agenda item and F2 agenda item, and the warrants and the board meeting minutes.
And a second? And a second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. Who seconded that?
I'm Mike.
Mr. Wynn?
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Manager's report. County road improvement fees.
We have a report from the whole county that the county proceeds to increase the road fees higher than our tax fees. We have a full report. Here's the supplier. That's your information. That's been $3,444.
I went to this meeting and testified against it. That didn't do any good, but they did it anyhow. But it just raises the price of a house to the consumer, because the developer just passes it on.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but they're greedy.
When it talks about peak, I don't mean to prolong the meeting, but peak hour trips, what sort of multipliers are there commonly for these categories?
I don't know what the report's in the office. I just scanned it. I have to.
Okay.
But you're welcome to take a look at it.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Boy, that math is ridiculous.
I run the lease every year in 20.
I can't even find our house, and we're right there.
Fire over there.
Okay, so any director's comment?
Did you hear about the Catholic Church in your area? Not in your home, obviously, but in...
Rural Randy?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Last night or the night before, they defaced the whole church.
I thought my wife would probably...
That was in Santa Maria paper. They tore out a wall and painted... It was Oceano, wasn't it, Al?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't it Oceano?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Oceano.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So let's go into no more director's comment. Let's do the closed session on...
Before the board, Lady Britton, district from Black Lake, and she's concerned about the water service charge. I think you have a copy.
You gotta come to the meetings to find out how we earn $100.
I encouraged her to come to the meeting and speak for...
She brought this in this morning and wanted you to read it to the board.
Well, I read it, and I don't know who the victim is.
I believe
she
the board is.
She's
capable of reading this on their own, quite honestly.
Anyway, we can respond to it later.
My only feeling after talking to her was that what we did, we used to have a two-line item bill. It said sewer and water. Now that we break out water into water service and usage, it adds up to the same thing, but now they've got what they perceive as a new item. We've started charging them for something new. And they haven't actually added them up and discovered that there's no change. My suggestion is that if we made a pie diagram of where these monies go, so that they could actually see that a portion goes for replacement and a portion goes for litigation and so forth, we could use it as a public education tool.
Well, she talked to my wife and at great length, and my wife gave her the full story, chapter and verse, and it couldn't have been better.
I know.
She was perfectly pleased at that time.
And of course, she's confused
but
here. I told her nothing about a computer
we
program.
We may have to move her out of our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Make sure her water bill's paid before she leaves. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to go into closed session.
Yeah, we're going to be going to closed session just for item number D. It's anticipated litigation. It's pursuant to government code.